try the new $1.99 crispy tender wraps at Sonic in bold flavors like Hickory Barbecue and Cheesy Baja, a whole lot of TLC, tender love and chicken for $1.99 for a limited time only at Sonic.
Suns fans, you know what time it is in the PHX.
Empire of the Suns.
Suns.
Phoenix Suns.
The Empire of the Suns podcast is brought to you by Sonic. Try new Sonic cheeseburgers starting at only $3.99 for a limited time only at Sonic.
Empire of the Suns.
Hello there and welcome to the Empire of the Suns podcast. My name is Kellen Olson, joined as always by Kevin Zimmerman. What's up, man?
Hi, how was your Christmas break? Good, lots of basketball, some bad basketball, and a little better basketball.
It's good. Yeah. I didn't watch the full slate on Christmas. I saw bits of it here and there. But yeah, I saw the last game, which was against the Mavericks. We're not really going to be touching too much on that because honestly, it's more of the same conversation we had last week and the week before. They lost to Sacramento on the road. They lost to Dallas at home, both of which were more of the same issues. And we were reminded, or just in case you were looking at other stuff for whatever reason, like the night and day difference between how they played in Houston and how they've been pretty much playing almost the entire month was there. 129-113 win over Houston. This is a four-game stretch they have where it is Houston, Charlotte, Orlando, and Portland. These last three, beginning with tonight against Charlotte, are all at home. Some of these teams are good. Houston's pretty solid. Orlando's pretty good. Charlotte's not good. Portland's not good. But it's four young teams where the Suns have an advantage even over continuity. If those teams have continuity like Orlando does, for example, they're experienced, they're older, they're veterans, it should be a matchup that they're favored in, four straight that they should be the favorites in, and then the schedule's a gauntlet we'll talk about later. But it's good to see them at least click into form for one game, because part of what I've been talking about for weeks is that you hope that there's some things clicking into place whenever Bradley Beal is back and whenever the team is nearly at full strength or just about at full strength, and apparently that is tonight, because the Suns said Bradley Beal is available for the Charlotte game. This is take two of the big three, I believe, but game number three overall that they're playing together. It was basically one game, 4 minutes, and then this one that we're at. So you get a Charlotte team that is already bad and already dealing with some injuries. I'm not sure who else is out besides Gordon Hayward, but I think LaMelo is still out. So a great opportunity is what I'll phrase this three games and four nights at home schedule as, because the schedule gets tough here in a bit and they need to start to click some things together.
I want to go back to, the only things I want to take out of the Christmas games were when I watched it back, because I was doing Christmas stuff and I wasn't paying great attention to it. I watched it again like Tuesday. And I honestly saw signs of better stuff. Now, there was still just like massive rotation issues. Like, they just kept spamming high pick and rolls with Luka, and he's really good and scored 50 and all that stuff. And there were problems there. But I saw more, at least defensive juice, energy, whatever you want to call it. But also offensively, like, they were actually whipping the ball around pretty well. Or at least trying, and they weren't shooting very well. There were a lot of misses, and it was really like timing stuff and just rhythm stuff. But I think that was a positive sign going into the Rockets game, and that was when, just to me, everything offensively was clicking. Like, KD assumed a little more point stuff. He was making simple passes. He wasn't high post trying to throw it, skip pass over a couple arms, couple guys' arms. Just swing it once, and Eric Gordon was obviously the big benefactor, and he and Grayson Allen have been pretty good the last few games, so that was good. Obviously, Houston does not have the Luka or guy who's going to break your not very clean rotations and make them look even worse than they already are, so we have to see that probably after this next little stretch when they have a tougher stretch. But the Houston game, we both talked because we were both filling in on Bickley and Murata, but do you see that as a turning point, as a just sign that, okay, this isn't just completely going down the drain? Like, how do you kind of consume, like, one game where they actually looked for, like, generally over four quarters, pretty consistently playing well together? Like, is that all it is?
I think it was just a sign that they can do this, which I think we all already knew.
Yeah.
That they were capable of this. If they had players who hadn't been around winning environments before, even with their experience, I guess we could have questioned if they were capable of this, but we know what they're capable of, and we know that they're capable of, at any moment, figuring this out. It's too early to say if this is them figuring it out. It'll be too early if they defiantly win all three of these games at home. It's just more about, like, 2 weeks from now where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the main thing that everyone wants to see is them just stay healthy for 2 weeks and play the same eight or nine guys for eight or nine straight games, whatever the case may be. Some of the tinkering, or not some of the tinkering, the tinkering done lately has been good.
Mm-hmm.
Udoka Azubuike's come into the rotation for Drew Eubanks. Saben Lee got in there for Jordan Goodwin. Those two moves have worked out because those two guys have just brought a level of energy and just, I don't know what else to put it as, just energy.
Athleticism, and you know what they're good at, I guess.
Yeah, and a presence. I think those two guys that they replaced were athletic for sure, but I just think what they've brought is something different, and I wrote about it on the site last night. Like, Vogel deserves credit for, and his coaching staff deserves credit for mixing and matching still at this time when logic more points towards, and the constant points towards sticking to guys and building chemistry and building continuity right now, because if he's building chemistry and continuity with guys who aren't bringing what he wants, then that's not the right move.
Yeah.
And I think that's more of what it has been about. The backup center thing and the center rotation in general has been something we've talked about a lot. Azubuike has played well in both games. I think that he's in the Chimezie Metu category of, is going to make mistakes, just has to play through them, and if he plays through them, he's going to be fine. And so far, he has been playing through them, and he has been fine. I think his mistakes really haven't been as glaring either through two games, but just, like, defensive positioning, getting your feel for everything, because this is, like, the first time he's been in like, a legitimate rotation on, like, a really good team. Because when he was getting minutes for Utah, hardly any of it was coming in real situations. A lot of it was when they were completely ridden with injuries and they were tanking, whatever you want to call it, like, shut down the last 15 games of the year when he was getting in there more so. So I've been impressed with him. I think he's been good. We talked with him this morning at shoot around, and I asked him about playing with guys like Booker and Durant that not only draw a crowd as a finisher, but are also able to, like, see the pass every time. And he mentioned, like, the first time they played at training camp or practice, he was, like, pretty blown away by just, like, how good they were as complete offensive players. Not to say he didn't think they were good passers, but just with the way that they saw the floor and were just able to break it down, everything, and dissect everything. So he's been solid. Grace Allen continues to be great. Eric Gordon had a bounce back game. I don't know what you want to call it exactly. His shots are going to fluctuate throughout, but yeah, it was, you can look at that game as a response to the ESPN story, which was a really
we have to acknowledge it, but, like, why are we?
Well, it was dumb for several reasons, but one of them was that it was stated, and, like, you would think if you wouldn't have seen the original source, that it was, like, this 9,000-word magnum opus on just, like, the turmoil inside the Suns' locker room, and that's not what happened.
Yeah.
Woj was on TV promoting a game coming up and just mentioned what he had been hearing, which is what he had been hearing is that Kevin Durant is frustrated. And people can take that and spin it as aggressive, but just use it to platform their agendas and start talking about and being like, does KD really not want to be in Phoenix again?
Yeah.
Is he doesn't have any other choices. Like, this is it, buddy. And it's like, he didn't say he was frustrated by his situation or anything. Like, Woj didn't get into any specifics. He just used the word frustrated, and everyone on the team is obviously frustrated, and I thought that's all that was going to come of it. But then you use that, it's like, what is he frustrated about? And then people start speculating because of how vague and broad of a report it was, and it turned into this really ridiculous news cycle. KD commented back on Instagram.
And by the way, the Instagram post, I didn't even realize until I was forced to look into this, was, like, a person taking a video clip of him having a bad play or something, and then the caption was like, is he mentally checked out? And it was from the Woj report that they would have done this. So it's like the context removed is Woj hearing it through a source who sees Kevin Durant's frustration. By the way, I can see that when he throws a bad pass or something and he like hangs his head like from the TV. Like, I could have put out that report basically. So I don't know why Woj even said it that way. But then it gets gone to some random Instagram person. I don't even know if it's important to know who posted it. KD, of course, doesn't help by commenting because he likes to comment and everything, which is fun. And then, yeah, and then we have to talk about it.
And then Shams has to put out the counter report, which is that what we're saying right now, which is common sense, but
yes, it's frustrating to lose. Yeah,
that's a difficult chore. Those video clips, by the way, were like when the game was over. It was like 3 minutes left and they were down 9 or 15 or whatever. The game's over. Everyone on the court looks like that.
Yeah.
I could have taken that video of anyone 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Context is everything. Sleepy Joe Flacco last night on the TV looked like he was falling asleep on the bench, which, like...
Yeah, and if they were down like 40, you'd be like, yeah. Oh, is Joe Flacco checked out? Oh, my gosh.
Is he too old for this?
Oh, no.
But, yeah, it's crazy that this is, like, how the... I don't know. I sound like an old person complaining about social media, but this is how far it's bent from reality. It's like...
What do you want to see the most with Beal?
One, I just want to see him healthy enough to just play like they want him to play. And by that, I mean like when he came back from his back injury initially, before he was shut down again, you could tell like, oh, we're being careful. We're playing him off the ball a lot. Like, I want to see how they want him to operate like on the regular. And that's like being a lead ball handler part of the time with KD and Book. Not just easing him in, I guess, because if it's a health reason that you're easing him in, that's not good. So I just want to see them have aggression. And the Houston game, one thing in there, like KD's triple-double was great because he was being very aggressive and it wasn't like apprehensive passing. It was, all right, I'm just going to swing it and it'll probably end up well, even if it's not like the most creative pass. He was pulling up in transition or semi-transition, which he has not done very much this year. And that's like one of his best strengths, is just like pulling from three as he's bringing it up off the full sprint. So that kind of stuff, and just all three of those guys not trying to overshare, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, they're good enough passers where they can, and scorers where they can just shoot and be aggressive. And if they make a right pass, make the right pass, but don't not shoot because, oh, you're easing in and that kind of thing. So that's, I just want to see them try to go full go, and it's not going to go cleanly, but like, you just got to get used to people, right? But if you're aggressive and you're just playing like your natural self, I think that's where they have to start from at this point in the season.
Yeah, he only missed 5 games. That's the thing, is that you react in the moment, he's injured, he's going to miss time again, and then you look at the time and he missed 5 total.
And honestly, it might be better for the back injury. Like, assuming the ankle's good, like a silver lining.
I thought in the Brooklyn game he didn't really look like himself, and then he had a back cut layup in the Knicks game, and when he like the way he exploded and went towards the basket, I was like, "There's Brad Beal." Mm-hmm. And then 2 minutes later, so that's the answer to my own question, which is I just want to see him moving like himself and looking like himself, because that was the closest we've gotten all regular season. Preseason, we saw it obviously before the back stuff started to flare up. But that's it for me. I think that him being back to that guy will help Book.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the right way to put it. I want to say get back on the same page or get back on the right page, but it's easy to forget that he was like doing player of the month, MVP candidate stuff. And then this skid came in, and in the last 6 games, he's scored under 30 points, which is like, think about what I'm saying. He's reached 20 in all those games, but he hasn't reached 30. It's like the high, I'm one of the best scorers in the world level scoring that we haven't seen from him in the last 6 games. And I think a lot of that has to do with them. The thing Bick and I talked about on Wednesday was, I said there's like this spectrum right now where on this end it is like overpassing too much, and on this end it is the Book KD offense.
Yeah.
And it has to be in the middle, obviously. And it was just leaning way too much in one direction or the other. And I thought in the Houston game, it was much better and much more sound. And they get a chance to repeat that here, and Beal will only help with that. I hope they do some screening stuff. They've used Goodwin there, but they haven't used a ton of guys otherwise in that spot. And Zach Lowe wrote about that in the before the season started about using Beal as a screener, and I think that's something that anything to open up more space and make things more comfortable for everyone should be the priority.
Yeah. To just jump back to your point about Beal helping Book and KD, I think a lot of what the skid was and how junky their offense looked was actually like Book and KD trying to force things and missing the connection of like when I should pass to my teammates and share the ball and when I should score. Like, I just think they had too much on their shoulders and they were trying to do too much. And then I do think Mavs and Rockets games were positive signs of like, okay, we need to just get back to sharing, trusting people, letting the ball flow and the ball move and find our spots. And it also matters that like he comes back and takes something off of them so they can play better defense, because they're going to need them to play defense, and they haven't been as a team playing very good defense at all. So yeah, I didn't think that Beal coming back would solve a lot of problems like 2 weeks ago, but now I actually do think it comes at a really important time where like he's going to offer relief, I guess, for this team.
Book this month, 38 minutes per game. That is too high. Yeah. Durant, 37, which is right around where he normally is, but it should still be lower. It has been out of desperation and necessity, and I don't disagree with them playing that much over this stretch, but that's where Beal, should help them a lot more in balancing the scales, and because I'm sure there's like a three-minute segment in each half where that's where Beal would be in and both those guys would be resting, and that's 6 minutes of rest. Now we're talking about 32 minutes a game for Booker and
yeah,
so on and so forth. It really is that easy. Sometimes shouts out Chimezie Metu.
Yeah.
He had 23 and 19 against Dallas. I thought he played well against Houston. Again, I like the way that Vogel is mixing and matching, using him as a four or a five, because that's going to be lineup flexibility down the line if Metu indeed continues to play like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives him different matchups to look at. As a four, he's a more natural floor spacer. As a five, he can kind of mix and match between stuff, because we talked about his diving and his explosiveness coming into the year. And he's been pretty darn good. And again, like defensively, I haven't noticed like a ton in terms of him being, I wanted to say disconnected, but the whole team was disconnected defensively for nearly a month.
Yeah.
He wasn't noticeably worse, I guess I should say. And the defense was much better against Houston. It had segments against Dallas. It had segments against Sacramento. So they're getting there. And I think the thing to realize, if you haven't already, is that this is not going to be an overnight thing. Play this in 2 months when they go 17-2 over this stretch, but it's not going to be Brad's back, they're going to win 14 straight or whatever. It's going to take a little bit of time. There's going to be some losses that shouldn't entirely 100% mirror the games we've seen, but they're going to resemble, and you're going to see, like the Houston game, I included it in the story yesterday, there were still like 7 or 8 terrible turnovers, just like really bad, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And that's just that kind of stuff, or blown defensive assignments or whatever, are going to happen. The schedule point I made, so they've had, at like 3 games ago, they were at the easiest schedule in the league. They've dropped down a little bit, but strength of schedule wise, they have the highest one of the teams that don't suck, because when you suck, you're not playing yourself. You're playing other teams that have way better records than you. Like San Antonio's going to always have like the worst strength of schedule, or Detroit or whatever, right? But they're up there right now. So I mentioned Charlotte, Orlando, Portland. Portland's on New Year's Day to start January, but then it is Clippers, Heat, Grizzlies, who have won 4 straight with Ja Morant and are looking like they could potentially not be out of it just yet. Clippers, Lakers, then you get the Blazers, but then it is the Kings, Pelicans, Pacers, Bulls, who are playing really well right now, Mavericks, Pacers, Magic, Heat, and the Nets. That is January. Yeah. And the end of that on January 24th, Wednesday, They are at Dallas, and that begins what is a 7-game East Coast road trip. Dallas is not on the East Coast, I understand that, but then it goes Indiana, Orlando, Miami, Brooklyn, Atlanta, and then Washington at the end. And then, like, you go through February and March, and it's the same kind of thing. Like, Milwaukee, Utah, Golden State, Sacramento, Detroit, Dallas. Yes, there's some stinkers in there, but Houston, Lakers, Houston, Oklahoma City, Denver, Toronto, Boston, Cleveland, Boston. Like, that's a brutal stretch right there. Charlotte, that's fine. This is where it gets a little bit better. Charlotte, Milwaukee, Philly, Atlanta, San Antonio. But then Denver, OKC, New Orleans, Cleveland, Minnesota, New Orleans, Clippers, Kings, Timberwolves to end the year. So there's a San Antonio double in late March, and then like the last 10 games of the year. That's brutal. They have a couple of stretches like that coming up. This is the first one. And that is why it was not imperative, but just important for them to kind of take advantage of the start of the year. They didn't. It happens. It's okay. The thing that's great, Kevin, is that when they're playing their best basketball, they are the best team. They should be the best team in the world, so it shouldn't matter. So it's more on them than the schedule, obviously.
Yeah. It is important to point out where they are. They're, like, what, 3 games out of, like, the 4th spot or something like that. Like,
yeah, you
standings-wise, you look at who's below them. Like, the Warriors can threaten, but they might be done. If we want to go on a long conversation about their window and dynasty and all that. But
no, not really. It's, you covered it.
Yeah, and then below that is, like, basically not much. So, like, even if you're looking at these lower seeds, playoff stuff, I don't know. Like, they'll get there when they hit the gas pedal and figure this thing out, assuming they do that. And even if they don't, they could still be there and have a late figure it out time in the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, that's not concerning. It's still very – there's a lot of – thick weeds, I guess. I don't know if that's a good metaphor in the standings, because a lot of teams are figuring themselves out. It's just a matter of, like, the continuity teams are up top, basically, in the West, and that's Timberwolves, Nuggets. Who am I forgetting is in the two?
So I was going to say, top six wise, I think you can, without a significant injury, like a top 4 or 5 player in their rotation missing 2 or 3 months, 6 weeks, whatever it is. T-Wolves, Nuggets, Thunder, Clippers, I think are all going to be top six.
Thunder, yeah.
Clippers, obviously, with the injury caveat, we'll see. But they're playing really good basketball right now. And then for the other two spots, the records, by the way, OKC 20-9, and then the Clippers are 18-12. And then after them, it is the Kings 17-12, Mavericks 18-14, Pelicans 18-14, Lakers 17-15, Houston 15-14, the Suns 15-15, the Warriors 15-16, and then I'll mention the Memphis Grizzlies at 10-20, but that's more of like a...
Oof, they have a big hole to dig out of.
If they go 11-2 in January, then all of a sudden they're nearly around 500, and then they're back in this thing. But they have to figure it out immediately. So it's between those 8 teams, in my opinion. Kings, Mavericks, Pelicans, Lakers, Rockets, Suns, Warriors, Grizzlies competing for 2 spots, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Mavericks have been a pretty good regular season team this year. I think they've been better. Mm-hmm. Luka's playing out of his mind this month. He's averaging, I don't know what his monthly average, it was 36 going into the Christmas game, and then he dropped 50-15. Kings, I think, are nearly a lock. Like, I feel pretty confident in putting them there, but there's still some weird... They got off to a weird start. De'Aaron got hurt. It went even worse. And then they got back, but they've still kind of been fluttering a bit when it feels like they should be more like the Clippers are right now. Don't know what's going on with the Lakers. The Pelicans
Never know what the Pelicans are doing, yeah.
You never know with them either. The Rockets, it's not only a good story, but it is a... with just all their young players and like Şengün turning into an all-star. What Dylan Brooks and Van Vliet are doing for them, but it doesn't feel like they're going to be able to get up there. They'll be more of like in the play-in mix. And then I think the Warriors, I agree with you. I think that it's cooked. I think that they just don't have enough horses anymore.
No.
So it's just, it's right there. They're 2.5 games out. I think we're 6 weeks to 2 months away from even talking about a play-in possibility, to be honest.
Yeah.
Way too early to have that talk.
I don't want to have that talk now.
All right, man. How about them Cats?
10-3, baby. 6 turnovers.
Who am I worried about in the Big 12?
I don't know. Oklahoma State? Not really.
No. I like the bowl memes, and that's like the summary of my college football experience and knowledge.
Pop-Tarts.
I wish I could have gotten to taste the Pop-Tart mascot. That was a weird thing to say out loud. Okay, we're going to leave now. Goodbye, everyone.
Try the new $1.99 crispy tender wraps at Sonic in bold flavors like Hickory Barbecue and Cheesy Baja, a whole lot of TLC, tender love and chicken for $1.99 for a limited time only at Sonic.